So because of that, I thought about a topic on speaking about old age today. So I'll be sharing on that. Usually you won't hear any sermon on people about old age, isn't it? So I'll share a bit about that. And I was supposed to give a very short message because we were supposed to be at Mike and Mary, but I shall preach from one page of paper and see how long we will go today, right? But in terms of announcements, we have a busy February week coming up. Please be in prayer, not just about the activities, but also about the many things that's happening. And more importantly, how God can make use of you to be part of this outreach. Okay, we have the Bunnings outreach on mid-February, Chinese New Year. They haven't come back to me exactly on the time, so hopefully I'll try to get the time nailed down and update you all. But this year, as I mentioned last week, we have the Chinese Church and the Lighthouse Chinese Church helping as well. So there should be a huge number of people, so it should be good. Now, the only problem is whether the English Church will turn up as well. That's the challenge for us. And also the barbecue, as Anne announced last week, Uplift Barbecue at the last Sunday of February. So that's a good time to invite your friends to come and share in the fellowship lunch after the service as well. I think with that, let's come to the Lord now in prayer as we prepare ourselves for God's word. Our Father, we thank you for your grace. And Lord, we thank you for your words of life in Psalms 71 today, that you have not forgotten us when we are old. You have not forsaken us when our strength is gone. But you are with us. You are with us every day and every moment of our lives. And so, Lord, help us to understand what that means and how it challenges us to live a life worthy of your name, to glorify the name of Jesus at every stage. Give us your grace now. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, so that we can understand your words. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you got your Bibles open to Psalm 71? I shall be quoting from the verse there. Psalm 71 is not a particularly famous psalm. But there is something interesting in that psalm that I want to highlight to you today. As I mentioned to you earlier, there are many types of sermons, but rarely does one preach about old age. So in line with that, I will ask Horace now to put on the first video. When you're old age, the good news is technology is catching up with you. So let's see what technology is helping some people today. Let's put on the first video. Scientists actually say that the best way to help someone now is using these things called and you get used to this new word, exoskeletons. Okay, exo in Greek means on the outside. So these are, instead of trying to replace your hip and bones with metal, titanium, and all that stuff, they put all these gadgets on your outside. So you can be as strong as Arnie, right, with all these exoskeleton. So it's wait a lot while longer, and all these gadgets, you soon see everyone walking around with these gadgets. But that's the interesting thing about old age, isn't it? That people look at people who are older and they do look down on them because they see them as weaker people. How many times have we read in the news about the cars in the shop front, right? And they always say, I wanted to press the brake, but I accidentally pressed the accelerator and it goes into the shop. And invariably, the person who did that are either older people or women. No, just older people. And so this is the thing, we do discriminate against them. We think that they are not keeping their marbles together, as someone says, you know. And that's a bit of discrimination. And in today's society where liberal values hold, as I mentioned last week, and where the society is becoming more and more utilitarian, that means if you are useful, we should keep you in society. But if you are not useful, we should get rid of you. Whether you can produce utility to society. Hitler once thought that the same thing. He killed off all those people who were handicapped, who had mental issues, all kinds of people, not just the Jews. He thought that they were not useful to the utopian society that he was creating. And so we have this discrimination in society today. The good thing is our background here, most of our church people here, we come from an Eastern background. And we are taught to honor our parents. We are taught to honor those who are older than us. As Alvin prayed earlier, he prayed uncle and auntie. Because he feels that they are to be honored. But in the Western society today, ageism, which is another word for discrimination against older people, ageism is something that is starting to permeate this society. I wonder how many of you young people here look at older people and think they are pretty useless. This is the problem we have in our society today. Ageism, a discrimination against the aged. How is your reaction when you meet someone older? I wonder whether you see them as people who are wise, people you can go to for advice, for help, or you think that they are pretty useless. You know, King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that is invented will be reinvented again. And yet, we who are young, we often seem to be arrogant in our approach, that we do not look to the older folks for some wisdom, for some principles of life. I think we miss out on great wisdom. How many of you ask Pastor Jian about anything lately? Or Anne, apart from turn off the aircon and all these things before you leave. But they do have a vast source of wisdom. That's why I encourage Ross, she asked me not to mention her name, so let's call her Betty. How many of you have asked Betty for some advice about life? You know, older folks do have experience. And we need to sometimes tap into them and lower our pride and our discrimination. Let's turn to the Psalms today, 71. As I said, there are some really cool words in there, some powerful words in there. But if you read through the whole psalm, there is a very interesting structure the psalmist has put together. And the psalmist, probably when he wrote this, was a much older person. Where are the clues to this? Let's look at verse 5 to verse 9, first part. Verse 5. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many people, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. In these four verses, the psalmist is already appealing to God. From his birth, in verse 6, when God has protected him and relied, and he has relied on God, to verse 9, when he is older, when he is near to graves, to the grave's entrance, and he appeals to God not to forsake him when his strength is gone. Would you, as a young person, write these words? Do not cast me away when I'm old. I don't think so. Obviously, this is a person who is very matured when he wrote these words, because he can see in a very, very short time that he is about to go to a place that he has not known before. And he is asking God to protect him. He's asking God for strength. But strength may not be the same strength as you are thinking today. I like the prayers of our church people. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes I wonder whether we are praying according to God's will, according to what's in the Bible. We pray for healing. But really, how can we be healed of old age? And this is where the psalmist in verse 9 says, give me strength rather than healing. So perhaps we should pray for strength for the older folks. Because how do you heal old age? You can't. There's a funny story about the charismatic movement. Because when the charismatic movement, in fact, permeated the world, everybody was saying, God can do it. And yes, I agree, God can do it. But there is a time and a place for healing. There is a time for faith. There's a time to step up. There's a time to cast away your doubts. But there's a time to also prepare for your Maker. There's a time to be ready. I think that is not unrealistic. I think that is fairly realistic in understanding about life. But at every age that you're in, I wonder whether we are praying the right kind of prayers. And the psalmist here says, pray for strength. But this strength here may not be the strength of physical power. This strength here may be of spiritual or mental strength. You could still advise people. You could still look out for the young people. You could look out for society and your family that you live with to give them the advice. I wonder whether we are, as we grow older, we are praying for the right kind of strength for us. Not strength, physical strength, to do the things that we used to do when we were young. When I was young, I used to play badminton with my dad, and he was quite a good badminton player. You know, I'm quite awful in physical activities anyway. But I was very, very impressed by his badminton powers, his ability to smash and retrieve the shuttlecock and all kinds of things. And I would used to be smashed by him. But now if I were to challenge him to a badminton game, he's over 80 now, I think I can win now. It shouldn't be too hard for me. Because he can't walk too well. That's why I recommended that video to him, and he liked it a lot. He said, "When are you buying one for me?" I said, wait for it becomes cheaper first. Wait till it becomes available on eBay. I might get one for him. But you see, for him, my dad needs strength. Yes, I hope he gets some physical strength as well, but more importantly, I hope his mental strength, his spiritual strength, will be even more powerful at this age. I think that's the way to go. And so the world discriminates against older folks, but they miss out on their wisdom. And when I worked in companies, there is because they were American companies, the people there were fairly gung-ho in their approach. And they seldom approached the older folks, the old warriors who fought all those battles to win prizes and victories and sales for the company long time ago. They think they can do everything again. They discriminate against the older folks. I wonder whether you in your workplace have this kind of attitude as well. But be aware that one day you too will be as old as them. And as I said before, whether people ignore you completely and think you are an unseen person, the invisible man, the invisible woman, to be ignored and neglected. That is the challenge of our times, to fight against, not against just against sexual discrimination, but also against ageism. But the other second problem I find is not how other people look at you, but how you look at yourself in your age. There are some people who look at themselves when they're at a certain age and say, "Oh, I'm weak." They're always moaning. They're always whinging. And I wonder whether they're doing themselves justice. The Bible here makes it clear that the psalmist did not whinge, but he continues to pray for strength. He continues to pray for power to minister to other people, to be strong. I wonder whether we are happy, number one, to accept what we have become. Yes, we have become weak. We have lost our strength. We can't smash and run around the court like my dad used to. But there are other things that is irreplaceable. His wisdom, his knowledge. And it's sad when you go to the older folks and ask for help, for advice, and all they do is give you a long, grumpy look and refuse to open up from the vast treasures of knowledge and experience to help you to get to the next stage. How do you see yourself when you're older? The perception can hinder you from being effective at whatever age you're at. But the psalmist here, as though he wants to reiterate, wants to repeat this. Did you notice in verse 17 of Psalm 71, he repeats this same formula? Let's look at verse 17. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even though I'm old and gray, do not forsake me. O God, too, I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies. O God, you who have done great things, who, O God, are like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. If you were in any doubt that the psalmist was old, this second part confirms it. Because he says in verse 18, even though I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God. And what is your purpose? As I said, don't see yourself as weak, but see that you have been repurposed by God. Now, this word repurpose has come into vogue, into common practice lately. I like to watch a TV series on 7Mate called American Pickers. Now, all of you probably don't watch it because, and worse for young people, they just don't watch TV. But what do the American Pickers do is they go around looking at old antique items, things that are considered junk, rubbish. And they buy it and they repurpose it. They make it into a nice, like for example, some old factory machinery. Big chunk of metal or something, but they put a glass top on it and it becomes a beautiful conversational table. I wonder whether we in our older age see that we can be repurposed as well. We may not be able to use the machine for that purpose, but we can use ourselves for another purpose altogether. You see, we have stages of life, and we need to understand the next stage that we're in. What we used to do when we're younger may not be the thing we now do when we are older. And in the Psalms here, he says, this is what I can do. Verse 17, I declare your marvelous deeds. How many of you have heard from the older folks of them giving glory to God through their testimony, that they're happy and eager to tell you about how God has dealt with their lives, how God has opened doors, how God has brought them through troubled times? You see, what stops the young people knowing about God is the perception about yourself. That sometimes through your battles and your fights of life, you have become so scarred and so inward-looking that you've forgotten that God has given you some strength to declare your testimony and to encourage the younger folks. And I would like to encourage you today that you can declare the marvelous deeds of God. You can declare the powerful things that God has done in your life, so that the people may believe. You may think your words are worthless. I told this story before. When I was in year 12, I had to study in KL in a place called Taylor's College. And I had to go to the Australian High Commission to take my English test. And it was raining dogs and cats on that day. So huge was the rain, you know, and you know how Malaysian rain is, you know, the rain drops are this big. I was praying that God would help me because it was a long way to Jalan Ampang to take the exam there. And just as I step out of the house to catch a taxi, the rain stopped. And when I reached the High Commission, we were standing outside waiting for the doors to open to the exam hall. I was sharing this testimony to a Christian friend from college. Little did I know that a non-Christian was nearby, and he overheard my testimony of praise. Years later, this same person ended up in the same university as me. And he told me this story that I was, recalled the story I was telling my friend. And I was amazed how he heard it and remembered it. Of course, as a non-Christian, he thought, this is a coincidence. But the fact that the story was in his mind showed that God was beginning a work in him. And of course, he became a Christian. Not through my work, I have to say, but he became a Christian. And he remembered the story. And he too believed that God works through coincidences. When you give a testimony and you think it is not powerful, think again. Your experience, your life story will have and definitely will challenge the young people. They may not listen to you now. They may even put it aside. God knows how many times I've tried to help the young people and they just look at me and say, yeah, Pastor, doesn't apply. But one day they will, I'm sure one of them or two will come and say, you know what you said some time ago? It's true. Because you see, life experience, there's nothing new or unique. It has to go round and round. And so we have to be careful about how we share God's word. And I would advise the older folks to share about your experience to others, because it can challenge the young people. The other thing that is interesting to note in this psalm is verse 20. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. And this is another interesting thought about our prayers for people. Many of us pray for deliverance, that God would smooth our paths. This is what they call the Irish blessing. May God raise the roads that you will never, you know, may the winds carry you and all kinds of great things. And we can pray all these great prayers for people. But yet we are not following what the Bible says sometimes. Psalms 23, not in my notes here. What does it say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. The psalmist is very clear. He says, God does not deliver us from a lot of our problems about our life, but he helps me to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And here in Psalm 71, it says the same thing. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, really tough things that he's gone through, you will restore my life again. You see, this is the confidence of Christians. That our confidence do not come because God has delivered us, but our confidence comes because God is with us through our bitter experiences. For who will not go through suffering? For who will not go through bitter lives and problems in our lives? Things that we cannot prevent. Things we wish, if only. We all have to go through bitter experiences in life, sufferings, things that we do not wish would happen on other people even. But God is with us. God is giving us the strength. He will restore our lives again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up, verse 20. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. And because of that, the psalmist says, I will praise you, verse 22, with harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with lyre. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wish to harm me to have been put to shame and confusion. I think the greatest power, the greatest testimony that can come to us is when we share with others how God has brought you through the valley of the shadow of death. It is not about how he delivered me. Not just about delivering us. It's just how he was with us through our problems. And who knows, each one of us here, sitting here, have our own problems. Whether it's with age, whether it's with family, friends, relationships, work. Leo always asks us to pray for patience. He's a real masochist, isn't he? Patience for his work. And sure enough, God answers the next day, more problems for him. But yet he still prays, asks us to pray for more patience. Because you see, I think Leo gets it that God is with him. And therefore, he's not afraid. He's not afraid of people shouting at him, cursing and swearing at him. Because in the midst of the storms of life, God is with him. And that's why I like that obscure part in Isaiah. It says, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. The very last words of John Wesley as he lay dying, as he said, but the best thing of all is God is with us. God is with us. Those were the very last words of John Wesley. He truly understood the Emmanuel principle. He truly understood that God is with us in all the trials and tribulations of our lives. And if you realize that, why won't your heart be full of joy and happiness? And that you will also share this testimony with the younger ones. And so I'd like to end with the third point, which is the challenge. Some of you younger people here think, this message does not apply to me. But let's put it this way. You have the physical strength now. You have the mental strength now. You have all the capabilities that make you strong. What are you doing about it? This should be the time that you younger folks should be attempting great things for God. Because one day your strength will be gone. And you need to be repurposed by God for other things. But what are you doing with your life now, those of you who are strong? One of the things that in my 20 years at Bible college was, I was asked once to help out in an old nursing home. And the pastor there was preaching, and I told this story to you all before, but for you new people, you may not heard of this. And I have to be frank to say that was the most depressing sight. Because yes, the lady came in and prayed Amazing Grace too on the piano. It was a nice one. And a few people sang in the nursing home. And the pastor preached a sermon, and it was a good sermon. But most of the people in that nursing home were almost non-responsive. They were on drips. They were wheeled in on special beds for that service. And the pastor, if he had issued a challenge, an altar call, who would you go into the world to save the world? How many of them would even get up? The fact that if they could even say a word, I thought, wow, that shows they are still alive. My friends, don't be like a nursing home. Serve God while you have the time. Serve God while you have the strength. Serve God when there are so many older folks who can give you help and advice. This is the challenge for us as a church today. Many years ago, our church wasn't looking like this. Whenever one family didn't turn up in church, I always feel that there's a big hole in the middle. Today, if some families don't turn up, at least we have some young people here. But the work is definitely not finished. It has only just begun. The challenge for us, reading this psalm today, is whether you have a testimony for the Lord when you are older, that you can share with the younger folks how God has used you now while you're younger. Or will you, when you reach older age, you have zero to tell other people about how God has worked with you? That is the challenge for us all today. I hope and pray that you will value the time you have on this earth. We do not know when we will go. When you look at the stories in the news today, people dying at 21 years old or even younger, car accidents, foolish things, people being bashed up on the streets and they die. How do you know when your life will end and what your life story is about? Can someone retell your story to other people about your testimony, about what you've done for the Lord? Or is it a blank slate still? That's the challenge before us. Let's pray. Father, we all will get old. We all will pass on. But Lord, the challenge for us today is that whether we are ready at any age, at every age, to glorify your name, to proclaim your righteousness, to proclaim the good news, to see things from heaven's eyes and not through our eyes, to not let other people discriminate against us, even as we discriminate against ourselves, to think we are useless in our old age, to think we serve no other purpose but to sit there and to just listen. But Lord, you have a purpose for us. Whether we are young or whether we are old. Only Lord, challenge us at each stage of our lives to surrender ourselves to you, to open our mouths, to proclaim your righteousness, of your salvation, and of your mighty acts. And then your will be done in us. Lord, give us your strength in more ways than one, not just physical, but mental, spiritual, and all kinds of strength that's needed to fulfill your will in our lives today. Give us your grace and your power always. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.